Over the past few days, we've witnessed contradictions from government medical experts, and perhaps most concerning have been the conspiracy theories about the vaccine's safety, efficacy and availability. The controversy continues to grow while the new variant of the COVID-19 virus is ravaging the country. Joining us now is Linda Gail Becker, director of the Desmond Tutu HIV Center. She also leads the local Johnson & Johnson trial at the center to take a closer look at where things are at. Thanks so much, Gail, for your time this evening. So we have vaccine trial leaders like you disputing the argument that's out there that researchers could have secured access to COVID-19 vaccine supplies when they agreed to conduct vaccine trials. Why couldn't this have been worked into the agreement as part of negotiations before embarking on any sorts of trials in the country?
So, Alicia, our job as clinical trialists is really to figure out whether the vaccine in the first place works and whether it's safe. And so although access does come into the conversation early on, and in fact with J&J, that's exactly what did happen, was we had a conversation about we wouldn't embark on the trial if there wasn't, you know, if J&J wasn't interested in filing and licensing their product in the country should it be successful. And so we had those discussions early on. They certainly do see South Africa as a place they want to put their vaccine if it works. And with that in hand, we went to our ethics committees and to SAHPRA to ask for approval to run the protocol in the country. So that is usually the way this happens. The actual negotiation for vaccine doses was squarely in the hands of government. And you know, we heard last week government also said that manufacturers are not wanting to have, you know, individual conversations. They're wanting to hear how many doses people are needing per country. And so that, you know, that was squarely, from our point of view, in their hands. And I think it is important that we as clinical trialists concentrate on running the clinical trial in the most ethical and the safest possible way. That's our role, and that's what we need to do.
So as you say, it's a prerogative of the state, Linda. It's government's job to, in fact, conclude bilateral agreements with any vaccine manufacturers out there. Do you have any sense of where things are at as far as any agreements are concerned? A lot of headlines doing the rounds around, for example, the fact that AstraZeneca can't sell vaccines in South Africa right now, contrary to government's promises, because these rights are being held by a different body altogether.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is concerning, and I'm on the advisory board of the Health Justice Initiative, and as an organization, the Health Justice Initiative kind of saw this coming and have been asking for transparency and for plans and, you know, where government is on this since November, in fact, even earlier last year. So I think it's disappointing that this information has been, you know, slow in coming, if at all. And I think it would be helpful to try and dispel some of the controversies and the concerns if government was actually upfront and told us exactly what was going on. I think there is no doubt that every single negotiation needs to be happening. I think things have improved since last weekend. I think we have been hearing more, both from the National Department of Health, and of course we did hear our president speaking about this in this week. So hopefully we will be privy to more information, but I think, you know, that is absolutely required so that we can keep an eye on how far or indeed how close vaccines are, whilst we also clearly need to start detailing how the implementation is going to happen, because that obviously is the very next enormous challenge that faces the country.
Linda, where transparency is the objective here, and of course, you know, working as a collective, the you know, the imperative at the end of the day here, have you started to see any kind of shifts as far as government's engagements with the likes of researchers are concerned?
I'm not sure if it's happening at a higher level. I personally haven't necessarily had any kind of contact. I'm aware that, there was support at the highest level for the clinical trials to occur. And I think that's really important. I think, actually conducting these trials where these vaccines hopefully in the future are going to be distributed is really good public health. So I'm glad that there was that support early on. We have not necessarily, as far as I know, been consulted around the actual plans or how these
Yeah.
vaccines will move forward. I understand it's happening within the vaccine committee, and obviously we're here and we're ready to support. Many of our clinical trial sites have, for example, cold chain capability, and that we have voiced publicly that we would put these facilities at the disposal of NDOH should they need, for example, minus 70 fridges.
Yeah, but where we are looking at the need for collaboration here, and not only in the sense that we've spoken about up to this point, Linda, but also collaboration, bringing private sector into the mix. Without those conversations happening already, one wonders whether next month is viable as a start date to vaccine rollout to the extent that we should be seeing. Where are your confidence levels sitting in that regard?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more that, Alicia, that we really do need to see a multi-sectoral approach to this, not only in terms of negotiations, in terms of fundraising, but also in the implementation plans. There's no way that this can sit only on the shoulders of the national and provincial departments of health. We are going to have to need, civil society, communities, community organizations to get behind the vaccine distribution plan. And so I think, the sooner that those
Yeah.
sectors are brought into the negotiation, the better, because I think then there would be better buy-in and better collaboration, as you say.
Linda, before I let you go, we've had the Oxford, AstraZeneca, Johnson and Johnson, Pfizer, BioNTech, and Novavax vaccines trials all conducted locally. What are we looking at when it comes to the efficacy of these vaccines?
Well, I think it's been very exciting to see, in North America and in Europe, with Moderna, with the mRNA vaccine. So that's Jane, that's Pfizer and Moderna. We've seen those efficacy rates up to 90, 95%. So that's very exciting. AstraZeneca sits somewhere between 70 and 90, but the good news is it's way above the 50% that I think we had all been hoping for
Yeah.
in terms of vaccine efficacy. Johnson and Johnson, we're sitting on the edge of our seats. We hope that those results will be available. The teams are working feverishly to clean up the data and make sure that those analyses can happen by the end of January. So hopefully we'll get some more information about the Johnson and Johnson. It's an important one. It's a single dose. It doesn't need to be refrigerated. So that really is one that we would pin our hopes on. And so hopefully we'll see good results there as well.
Okay, Linda, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Linda Gail Becker, who's director of the Desmond Tutu HIV Center.